You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG. Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans in the first segment. We talk about so much. We talk about Chicago moving. What Chicago? Is it Chicago Fire? Nah, son. It's Chicago City, right? We talk about whether that's a good or a bad thing. We also talk about some other stuff that's not so good. We talk about Moises Kean and the abuse he had to go through. We get really, really real. We also talk about Fernando Adi, and maybe we keep it too real in that conversation. We also talk about a lot more.
And in the second segment, we're talking to Tommy McNamara of the Houston Dynamo. He is back on with the Cooligans. Talking pizza, talking golazos, talking CCL. So we have a great, great conversation with him. And we also make a huge, huge announcement in the show during the break. So tune into that. So all this and more today on the Cooligans!
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Woo! Let us do this. Vamos a empezar, señores.
Coño, empiézalo ya.
What's up, everybody? Hello.
We are so extra Latino.
It just feels that way today. They put us in a different studio. This is the first time we've been recording from this studio.
We've been in this studio before,
but not to record a podcast.
Never to record a podcast. We've taken phone calls and stuff in here. We're always like, ill.
Yeah,
we'll never use this studio. We're way too important to this whole podcast network.
You've been demoted.
Turns out you can get relegated in real time in this podcast.
If you guys are not watching this on video on YouTube, we are in a studio that I think was built in when the radio was first invented.
Right. This was actually a set piece from Back to the Future.
this is basically the set of the movie Network.
Yeah. I'm mad as hell. And I'm not going to take it anymore. Was shot right here in this place.
It's an old-timey studio, but we are excited because the quality of our show, it doesn't get old-timey.
No, not at all. If anything, when you put us in a worse studio, we get even crazier. We get wilder.
Okay. We are excited about today's show. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
It is. And mine is Alexis Guerreros.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
That host the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever in your life have listened to.
Well, it's the only one that's ever existed, so better. But it's not just the funniest.
It is not exclusive.
You know that, though, right?
I'm pretty sure about.
Yeah, you're familiar with this, right?
Yeah, I think I know this podcast.
So you know that we're not just the funniest. We happen to be something else. We happen to also be the gulliest soccer
that
podcast.
That is right. And you know, what better way to show how gully we are by pressing this button?
That was easy.
Hell yeah.
Yes, son.
That's right. There's a
copyright infringement, my guy.
We're in this old studio, and then we got an old-ass Staples button.
Which is the most modern technology in this studio.
Okay? If somebody came,
you legit got, like, H1N1. Remember that? You got that from touching that. That thing hasn't been cleaned.
I got that bird flu. What you know about that? Okay.
Because he flying every weather.
Up the pigeons. So welcome to the show, man. This is I'm excited about today because we have not only are we
in the hood ass studio.
In the hood ass studio.
We're in a gulliest studio.
We're in a gulliest studio, but we also got one of the gulliest soccer players that went on a pizza tour with us.
That's right. He took his gully on the road. He said, "I'm bringing it to Houston." He's down there going, "Welcome to Houston, Texas."
That's right. Y'all are saying it weird.
Yeah, y'all need to learn how to speak.
We are joined by Tommy McNamara of the Houston Dynamo. We'll be talking to him a little later.
That's right. We only get the greatest guests ever.
That's right. Okay.
That's it. I mean, everyone else is trying to compete for the same old six people, not us.
Okay. How many times Alexi Lott is going to do your show?
Why don't we pull up our galometer and have it suggest who to have on the show?
We love Alexi, but
he's great.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
Okay, the market is saturated with a Lalas.
He is the Ugg boots of a soccer podcast guest. They're dope.
Okay.
I'm sure comfortable,
all right.
Familiar, warm. But you already got it.
Wow, words that have never been used to describe Alexi Lalas.
Well, maybe certain parts.
our guests are like a supreme drop.
Hell know? Yeah, mad exclusive.
Mad exclusive, all right? Not many available.
Nope.
Okay, and also overpriced.
Right, I mean, you may not know who it is, but the person who does is flipping out right now.
Exactly. Why are people going so crazy? Crazy over these Cooligans podcast guests. They're like, oh my God, there's not enough to go around.
I know, there's just not enough. They don't make enough for the demand. Speaking of, we're going to be revealing something big.
We are.
Today.
We're excited. So tune in, in the break, we'll make a big announcement.
Just before the Tommy McNamara interview?
Exactly. Get people, you know, nice and revved up.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, we're going to warm you up.
Okay, a little foreplay before that Tommy McNamara interview.
Spit on it a little bit.
Anyway,
if you're still listening, thank you.
I know, you know, it's weird because now we're hearing more and more people tell us like, hey, there's like Dave, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. It's either Hageman or Hageman.
Right. I know who you're talking about, though.
Mentioned.
I'm going to go with Hageman.
Hageman.
Okay.
Okay.
Probably how his forefathers pronounced it.
Bold choice, but okay.
You know me. I like to go third party when it comes to pronunciations.
You know, it's when you go on those acting auditions, you make those very bold decisions. Give me, I'm going to be very different than I'm not just going to read the words on the script.
No. I'm going to enunciate them very differently. I'm going to go to the park. Like, all right, that's a weird
people
one.
People are like, why is he? It's 2019. Why is he doing a transatlantic accent?
Hey there, fellas.
So, but he did mention that he a Cooligans fan, I believe, in the DMV area.
Okay. Right.
And what's going on
over where you apply to get your license. That's
exactly.
Dope.
Exactly. Real cool.
We got to have you.
Shout out to everybody listening online at the
DMV. Shout out to all the government office government workers who listen.
So he did mention that he was going for a job at a high school and he had a Cooligan sticker on
That's
his
right.
water bottle. And one of the teachers at the school was like, yo, you a Cooligans fan too? That's me. Me too.
All the kids listen.
All the kids listen. So they also just heard us talk about foreplay. Now the kids know about foreplay.
Well, they probably don't know what it is. And also, if their kids are anything like what the kids we have on the subways when we take the train after 3 o'clock,
yeah,
buddy, they're way further advanced than we are.
Foreplay, that's when you get fouled taking a 3-point shot, right?
Yeah. Or they're like, foreplay, ill, that's for sixth graders. These kids are way more advanced.
So thank you for, we get a lot of messages of people just showing some support. You know, we're not a global brand name, but you know what?
Not yet.
We're local.
Not yet. We've hit the regional.
We're all right. So
okay, we're on our way.
So that feels pretty good. So anytime if you bump into people, this happens occasionally. Like people will be wearing a Cooligan shirt, or so usually it happens more often in New York. Shout out to Dave. I remember Dave was doing a video shoot somewhere, and ran into our homie Mark Binder.
Yeah, you know, I know.
You don't remember that photo?
I remember the photo, but I don't remember that it was at a photo shoot. That's pretty dope.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he was just walking by, but he had a Timbers sweater, a Timbers Army. And so it feels beautiful when Cooligans fans find each other.
When they find each other.
Yeah,
it's one of those things where like it's like 6 degrees of separation.
So that's always...
You always near somebody who's gully is the point. Just watch out. There's gully at least 6 degrees away from
you. Yo, look to your left. Look to your right. Yo, one of y'all is gully.
Somebody here. Shake the hand of the person to the left. Shake the hand to the person to the right. Somebody. You just shook the hand of somebody who's gully.
It's always beautiful. So this, trust me, this is a soccer podcast.
We promise. Eventually we get to it.
We get to it, and it's always super, super fun.
Why you hurried, yo? We just started the fourth.
Yo, we're here once a week. Relax.
I know. Chill.
You
know,
settle in. This is,
Ryan,
you have a little vino, you know?
We just started the bath. The water's not even warm yet.
We talked about, this is the foreplay, all right?
Right.
You can't just rush right into things.
Buddy, we haven't even spit on it yet.
Anyway, gross. We always like to start the show by showing love to the people.
To those who love us.
Who love us, you know? We are currently at 412 iTunes reviews.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing. We're trying
but
to
we
get.
We got to get to that 500.
We got to get to that 500. That 500. So
We're almost there.
We're almost there.
I feel like the momentum is going to carry us.
Okay. Oh sure. Yeah. It's inertia. So
hell yeah. I don't know her, but she seems like a nice lady from everything you say.
So this is already a bunch of.
There's so many good ones.
There are so many good ones, but I'll read a nice short one. This is the most recent one we got. This is the subject says gully as hell.
Gully as hell.
All right, we got that 5 stars from what's the username @drank27.
Drank.
Shorty, what's your drink?
I'ma buy you a drink, 27.
So it goes. My guys host the funniest podcast. That's also a soccer podcast. Which is thank you for that, because that we always try to. This is a comedy podcast where we talk about soccer, not a soccer podcast that is a little funny.
Nah, hell yeah.
We're straight up comedians, right? Cool. So he goes,
comedy goddamn podcast.
He goes, my guys host the funniest podcast. That's also a soccer podcast. Shouts to us for listening, and shouts to me for leaving a 5-star rating. Don't make me mush you in the face before you listen to the gulliest dudes in American soccer.
Hell yeah.
Amazing. Thank
hell
you.
Yeah. You know, I often wonder, what do people who haven't listened to this show feel when they read this? They're like, what the hell does any of this mean?
They read the reviews, they're like, am I being bullied?
Yeah, I feel like I should talk to a principal. And by the way, that's exactly what we want, all right? This is the feeling we want to give. I want to read one. It's by Pixel Reviews Games.
Yeah, well, this name sounds familiar.
I feel like he's left a review before.
Or she. I don't know who this person is.
Which is fine.
Yeah, please, leave as many reviews as you like.
Please, get in there. I don't know how you're doing it, but do it. The most onlyest.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, this happened a couple weeks ago.
We read this one already?
No, we didn't read this but that is a callback to a joke that we made.
Right. So the title is The Most Onlyest American Soccer Podcast. This is the review. This is the most hilarious podcast I listened to. Thank you very much. You could have ended there. That would have been amazing. But he or she kept going. As a MLS fan, I can't find a funny podcast about this league that is funny other than the Cooligans. I mean, come on now.
All right.
Would you like to write copy for us? Okay. So my guy, whether you are, and by the way, spelled it weather as in the rain, which I think is a shouts to me. You know what I mean? So my guy, whether you are learning a million ways to say straw in Espanol or listening to Alexis and Christian buying a fruit bowl for Dax McCarty, you will enjoy yourself. Shouts to us. P.S. Gunny told me that Nikolic, I can't spell his name right, told me to tell Alexis that he misses him and sends him lots of hugs and cheek caresses.
Okay.
Yo, he's being sold. I'm losing a lover. You know what I mean? I'm losing a suitor.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be devastating for more than just, you know, the Nikolic family.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have some stuff to deal with, but me in particular.
Okay, sure. We finally got a cameo from Gunny. Gunny has been away for a while.
Gunny's been away.
Okay.
He's a self-hating gun.
And look,
and believes in gun control.
Believes in gun control, but also exclusively focuses on transfer rumors.
That's all he does.
Yes, but the reason is he's been away is, he's a self-hating gun. Depression is real. Mental health, people, sometimes you need a mental health break, and you got to stay off of, podcasts and social media and things like that. So it's good to see Gunny make a return.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Gunny, he's got to pop up every once in a while.
So it's a good sign. Let's get going. Just a reminder, make sure you leave a review. You're listening to this right now. It's a breeze. Leave it on iTunes. The majority of people who listen to our podcast do listen on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. So leave a review. It's very, very simple. While you're listening to this, it'll be great. I don't know if we should. I mean, I don't want just 5 stars and be like, yo, this is the gulliest, funniest, most onlyest podcast right there. We wrote the review for you.
You just write that. If you listen to the show and you haven't left a 5-star review, what are you doing?
I mean, you're actually
we know there's a lot of you because we see the numbers, people download and we see the
you're actually by not leaving a review, you're actually hurting us.
It's almost like you're embarrassed to be a Cooligans fan.
And we can't have, I mean, that can't possibly be the case.
I'm already hurt. My feelings are already hurt just thinking about you listening to us in the corner of a room somewhere, trying to hold in the laughter.
Cooligans fan. So, I mean, just devastating. So leave a review and help us get to 500. We'll be incredibly grateful. So a couple things. You know what? A couple things going on in my life. Got a wisdom tooth removed.
Yeah, so you were your voice was also messed up at some
point.
My
voice was completely destroyed. The next day, I'm glad because I didn't know I was going to get my wisdom tooth removed.
What happened? I didn't hear about this at all.
I didn't know. I went to the dentist.
I didn't know. You didn't know.
The dentist was like, all right, it's got to go. I'm like, all right.
Do I sign up or what do we do here? We combine calendars and see what's and all of a sudden yank.
No. So, yeah, apparently I had a wisdom. I've never gotten a wisdom tooth removed, and I had a tooth that it was either we'll see what would happen and maybe get a root canal, but like the tooth was like basically decaying or something like that.
Oh man.
So it was either get a root canal, which was crazy expensive, or just remove the wisdom tooth. I wasn't having any particular pain, but the tooth was like, I'm done. You know,
your tooth's like, I gave up a long time ago.
I've been in this business a little too long.
Buddy, tell my family I love them.
I've seen all the kale there is to see.
Pull that plug. This guy stopped eating good food years ago.
So I did get rid of the tooth, and I sounded weird. I was making phone calls and stuff, and like the next morning, I sounded like I had been smoking for a decade. I sounded awful. It was crazy. It's all connected, right? Your sinuses and your throat and all this weird stuff. But I'm feeling a little bit better. So I'm glad.
You sound normal. You sound like the Christian we know and love.
Okay, good.
Is it like packed? Do you have like gauze or something back there?
I did the first day, but now I'm all good.
Then you can eat and do whatever.
I can eat.
Oh my god! Well, don't have to light the candle, folks. On your lunch break,
a little vigil. So that and another.
You're just like, doctor, how long until like I have Soylent?
I rolled my ankle playing in a soccer shape.
Your old son.
Tournament.
How many times is that?
That's not age.
How many times is that?
In the last like 2 years?
Yeah.
It's probably like my third, fourth one.
Okay. You're out of the league, bro. If you're a professional soccer player, they'd be like, old glass ankles over here.
So, look, I'm realizing.
You got to get high top soccer boots. What you got to get?
But, you know,
old Patrick Ewing soccer
boots. Nice Reebok pumps.
Yeah. LA gear.
Little lights on the side.
Yeah, yeah. BK Knights. Who remembers that?
So, but yeah, this is what I'm realizing. And I had put out an Instagram story asking for some advice on how to handle rolled ankles or how to prevent a rolled ankle while you're playing soccer.
And you got roasted.
I got a little roasted, but yeah. I also got some actually amazing advice from people. And one thing I never really thought, I've only been playing soccer like at any practical level in like the last 3 years.
Right.
So I never really thought to tape my ankle. I just never thought that was like a thing that soccer players did. I thought that you either had strong ankles or you did not. You know?
Right.
But now that I'm rolling my ankle.
Only the strong survive. Even ankles.
But now that I'm rolling my ankle every goddamn 3-4 months, I used to box, right? I used to box with Sergio Chacon, another comedian who was a boxer. And
you used to train in boxing.
Yeah.
You didn't spar like real people.
No.
Yeah. You can't say you boxed.
I boxed.
You're joking around at the office doesn't make you a comedian. You didn't box.
I put on boxing gloves. And I threw my arms back and forth.
So do 4-year-olds sometimes.
So I would do that. And
you got people on this podcast thinking you going up against, you know, featherweights.
But I would always, I remember I did it like once or twice and I didn't wrap my wrists with the wrap. And yeah. I didn't do that. And my wrist would be in incredible pain.
Right.
But then I'm going ahead and playing soccer, not wrapping my ankles, and then wondering why my ankles are in pain.
I got it. I got the thing that's going to fix it all. You got to wrap your wrists before you play soccer. Done.
Okay. Nice. Right. Yo, I'm never going to get injured in them throw-ins.
Hell no, son.
I got that strong injury prevention.
Like, yo, you saw Christian got a red card? And then he hooked the ref? Yeah, man. Still got it.
So thank you to everyone who sent me any advice. If you have any advice on ankle tips on how to protect your ankles when you're playing soccer, please, I'll be happy to listen. And
can I give you one?
Sure.
Here's my advice. Stop playing soccer. But have you heard of FIFA? Question mark.
I enjoy it very much. So
you got to do what you love.
Exactly.
Even if it doesn't love you back.
Okay.
Again, these are hobbies. That sounded weird otherwise. Just talking about hobbies, folks.
So,
I mean, like toy trains, you know what I mean? Maybe some apps.
A lot to talk about today. And let's start with the serious subject.
Chicago City?
No, not that. A larger subject. And then we'll get to a lot of stuff going on in American soccer. But we should talk about a game. There was a game last week with Moise Kean
of Juventus. Amazing young player.
He's an Italian national, but he is obviously African ancestry.
Not obviously. For people listening, they don't know that. Obviously, with a name like Kane.
No, if you see his face and you see his skin color and you see his family, you're like, he's probably not originally from Italy.
No, he's like a little bit like Mario Balotelli's background. Kane, yes. You know, African heritage growing up. He's African-Italian.
Exactly.
If you will.
Yes. And
which any Italian American listening to this over the age of 50 just screech their car to a halt. A what?
Excuse me?
Well, first of all, those are called Sicilians.
So this and there, obviously if you don't know the story yet, he was playing in a match. Juventus was playing in a match against
Cagliari,
and also great restaurant.
Yeah. I know that guy. I think I owe him $5.
No, but and he had to deal with him and who is the other player?
Not Dani Alves. What's his name?
I forgot his
name. You know, we both know the name.
We know who the other player of African descent.
Yeah.
Who plays on Juventus. He's French. I forgot his name. Anyway, but he had to deal with
not Patrice Evra.
No.
No.
Ever retired? Or is he playing somewhere?
I think he died of salmonella a few years ago after he did that sucking on the raw chicken.
I mean, he's doing fine on Instagram.
Yeah, no, he's fine.
But he did deal with a lot of monkey chants and boos. And
I don't understand how Bonucci comes out and says, oh, okay, there were racist chants, but hey.
Yeah.
You know, he should have looked at them.
He said that Keane is responsible for, he takes 50% of the blame. He says 50-50 of the blame because he kind of, you know, incensed these racists in the crowd by, after scoring a goal, kind of standing in front of them. And he was being thrown, they were throwing cups at him and probably beer and things like that.
Here's the thing, and I think Bonucci's right. The problem with racists is when they get upset. So just don't make them upset.
Don't make them angry.
The fact that they hate somebody who didn't choose what color they were born, that's fine.
Yes.
It's when they're upset. That's the problem, right, Bonucci? This is the dumb. I mean, as if Juventus doesn't have enough issues with the old rapey guy up front. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, right? As long as you know, as if you don't have enough issues with that, now you add in this ridiculous response. How hard is it? How do you side and protect a player who admitted to rape, not stand by the player who's getting monkey noises thrown at him? That guy's like, I don't know, I think he was wrong. Rape guy? Nah.
Yeah, there's a weird line of like where the ethics sort of stand with Juventus.
And then people get upset when someone who's black or a minority like us is like, hey, wait a minute, I think this might be racially charged a little bit. And people are like, why would you think that? Well, why don't we lay it out a little bit and see what happens?
Pretty wild. I mean, look, this is a thing we spoke about it with Raheem Sterling had dealt with it.
We spoke to Raheem Sterling. Where was I?
Oh, you missed that episode.
Yeah. Oh my God. I gotta stop sleeping in.
No, but we talked about it when he dealt with it playing for Manchester City and the Chelsea, remember the four or five Chelsea fans that were screaming in his face.
We also talked about it when that guy got kicked off the train by the Chelsea fans.
Yes.
And they chanted we're racist and that's the way we like it. And everyone was like, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but just this kind of stuff, I mean,
how do you, it's difficult because they don't really do this to Latinos as much, right? But like, if they did this to Latinos, what would you suggest you do in this situation? If you're playing in a game, right? You just finished rolling your ankle, okay?
Sure. So that was the highlight.
Yeah,
yes.
The physio comes out. Physio comes out and removes your wisdom tooth. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, we start getting, I don't know, Maraca chants or something, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something racist towards Latinos.
Okay, coqui noises.
I would be like, where? Dogs yeah. for miles away. Be like, what's happening out there? Cats are like, let me out. I mean, so we get coqui noises.
Yeah.
What is an appropriate response if you are a black player and this happens to you? What should happen?
There's no a lot of people have made the suggestion, but there's no other response than penalizing the club. And
I think there is. I think you should automatically get 3 points.
The team, yeah,
you should be allowed
team.
To walk off. No, the team that's getting those racial slurs thrown at them should be allowed to walk off the field.
Yeah.
And you get 3 points automatically. That team loses.
It's interesting because Raheem Sterling was asked the same question, and he doesn't agree with that, which I think it's a fair stance. He says the best way to get back at them is to score on them and win the game. And that hurts them more.
Yeah, if you're writing a movie, but there's got to be a way. You can't just be like, oh, racist? Well, then get out there and try to score.
It is inspirational, right?
Sure. Thanks, Tony Robbins. We don't need that right now. We need a law. We need a rule to put in place.
Sure.
So that the sport has the ability to sort of
I think from an individual player perspective, especially if you may feel alone in the scenario where you're like, you don't know, nobody's really helping you. Yes, I think that's the main way to respond, or that's a fair way to respond. It's like, you know what? Maybe that'll rev me up more to score on this team and like embarrass them for doing what they're doing to me.
Right.
But from a macroscopic level, no, that's not the best way to handle it. It's not like the FA is going to be like, all right, black players, we need you to play better when the monkey noises are coming.
Yeah. Look, I mean, we figured out a rule that's going to fix it all. Just get better at the sport, but only after you've been racially insulted, okay?
So,
buddy,
yeah.
Buddy, hit the fifth gear. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
They need to penalize the team because they're like, it's one of those scenarios where you don't, there obviously a lot of good people at Cagliari that are not making racist noises. And
you're trying to say there's good people on both sides.
It's clear. They're clear, but they have to be punished as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team's got to take it on the chin because yeah. this happened.
Exactly.
That's just it. There's no bones about it.
That's the only way to stop it.
Yeah.
And
also, if you're a black player, especially if you're young and you're incredible, right? Get out of Europe. Come to MLS.
Okay. Huh? I mean, it's not that easy, but okay, yeah.
Listen, not a lot of racist chants going on out here, right?
Take $5 million less.
All right. Well, look, I'm not saying it's all pros. There's some cons, right?
Yeah, but look, I think at the very least, this is a thing that American soccer can have a little bit of pride in that, yeah, this is, you know, this is one of the things I love, especially from LAFC, is the rule that they have, the 3-2-5-2, that they don't yell puto. And if they catch anybody yelling it, that they are pointed out and they're removed from the stadium. So I love that is like that's the no tolerance policy for that stuff and supporters sort of keeping each other in check with that stuff.
I mean, that's like anything else. Like if you're gonna call yourself a bit of a family, right? Those supporters are like a family. If you're gonna do that, then at some point you have to like check members of your family and say, yo, you can't do that. Yo, that wasn't right. That's kind of what you got to do. So. I don't like the way the Italian FA, I don't like the way the Italian teams, I don't like the way the Italian fans are for the most part just washing this away of saying like, oh, what are you going to do? Just a couple monkey noises. Nah, you got to stop that shit.
Yeah. That's
also not one of those things where like there's no gray matter. Like, puto, I get some people are like, it doesn't mean that when we say it. You know what I mean? I understand that you can't. I mean, no, I'm not making monkey noises because that guy just scored.
It's coincidental that I'm doing it only when the black player touches the ball.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I thought it was a little freaky at first myself. You know, like I think, you know, I'm just a big Curious George fan. You know what I mean? What, am I not allowed? You know, is that illegal all of a sudden? You know what? We should have a telexit. I think at the end of the day, you punish. And I think you continue to punish. And if that means that most of the Serie A matches are done behind closed doors, then so be it.
Yeah. Or you know, some people have suggested the team actually get relegated and that can be the punishment as well, which, yeah, might be harsh. But if you're not controlling any of this stuff, and it's also strange to me that Moise Kean plays for Italy, right? So you would think there would be a little bit of pride and hope that, you know, y'all missed the World Cup.
That didn't work with Balotelli.
He could be the future. I know, I'm just saying, but you would think, even though, but Balotelli, at the very least, like, you could understand because he's kind of like flamboyant and boisterous and has a bit of an attitude. You could understand why, regardless of his color, people may not like him, right?
Sure, he may not be your style of striker. People may like quiet, reserved striker. Okay,
and you can't convince me that people who don't like him, like who truly, truly don't like him, also are not like, it's not coming from a place of some bigotry, right? I it feels that way a little bit. No.
Yeah, even some of the things they'll say. But, like, I just wish he would shut up and, what, play basketball? What are you going to say? What are you going to say right now? Laura,
so, look, that clearly, you know, kind of exists. But Keane is, he's 19 years old.
Right.
I mean, he's
a kid.
He's a kid.
Right? He's a child. He doesn't look it. He's tall. He's got like a grown man body.
Yeah, but he's so, you know,
but he's a child.
Closely removed from, you know, basically being an amateur player. You know, well, he was probably 15, 16 is when he went professional.
What,
and then
2 years ago, 3 years ago, he was still in the dorms. Yeah. You know what I mean? The academy.
And then you're getting monkey noises. You're 19. Like,
how do you handle
the
that?
Nerve? Like the shame on these Cagliari fans to do this, right?
Yeah, and he put up a picture with Bonucci,
okay,
on his Instagram. He's like, "Nah, leave him alone. He's my homie." I'm like, "Oh, your homie? I don't think he's got your back." You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I also, it might be that, you know, if Keane was like, I don't know, 25, 26 years old, a little bit more mature, probably doesn't post that photo with Bonucci, right?
Yeah,
but. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, there's obvious. That's obvious, but it's a thing that sort of, I was saying, like, there is a sense of pride that I think at least MLS and American soccer can kind of hold on to, even though,
like, all right, we may not have
not
the
perfect
players,
not perfect.
We may not
means.
Have the best league structure, but we ain't got that.
Yeah, we ain't got that. And Serie A is the last. I feel like the last couple years, maybe because of social media and the fact that this stuff is still going on, it really seems way, way worse, right? Like, yeah. It's just because
it seems like they're sliding backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. So, whatever. You can hope it doesn't happen anymore. Hopefully, Serie A, you know, and their federation takes some real notice and really tries to do something about this stuff.
They won't, but I hope they do.
Yeah, that's all we can hope for. So, all right, let's move on to the next tremendous bombshell of a story that came out last week as well. Chicago Fire are
no longer.
No longer, or for not much longer.
Yeah, I hope, just, I mean, I don't hope. I just think it would be funny if the show Chicago Fire changes their name to Chicago City Soccer Club. You'll never get away from them.
Yeah. So
Sophia Bush is behind you at all times.
So Chicago Fire, the rumors came out, and there was like I forgot.
It was like a screen cap of a text, and the end was like, "Leak it if you want."
Yeah. So,
and I'm hearing it's like that, and then the next day they're like, "You heard correct."
Yeah, and it felt a little. I think it was like April 2nd or April 3rd, so it did feel a little bit April Fool's ish.
Well, the part that made me think it wasn't real was the rumor is, or now it's been confirmed, they're trying to buy out of their deal in what is Bridgeview?
Bridgeview. That's the city they play in. They currently play at SeatGeek Stadium,
which used to be called Toyota Park or Stadium.
Toyota Stadium.
Toyota Stadium for a very long time.
Oh, Toyota Park. And Toyota Stadium is FC Dallas.
Okay, so Toyota Park. And now it's called SeatGeek Stadium, right? So Bridgeview. We've talked about this before, very far away from central Chicago, not downtown, so to speak, but the part of Chicago most people live in, you know,
yeah.
Your Brooklyn and Queens parts of Chicago. So it's very far. It's like past Jersey, right? So not a lot of people go there. There's no transit there, blah, 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 blah. Most people think that has a big thing to do with the attendance issues. They've decided, this rumor came out, there was a screen cap that they were going to move to Soldier Field, which is downtown. We went there for the All-Star
game against Real Madrid.
Real Madrid, that's right. Beautiful stadium, huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's
turf.
Old, that's the only issue with Soldier Field.
No, it's new.
Soldier Field is not new.
Yeah, it's only a few years old.
You're very wrong.
I'm serious. The facade is old. They redid the stadium
okay.
8 or 9 years ago, maybe. Not even.
Okay, which is different than...
But we were there. It's beautiful.
I wouldn't go that far.
I think it's beautiful. It's coming from a Giants fan.
Okay. It was renovated in 2003, but it's originally from 1971.
Yeah, 2003. Not that long ago. What's that, like four or five years ago? Plus, it doesn't feel that old.
I love your definition of new.
Guys, it doesn't feel that old. But nonetheless, it's downtown and it's in this. It's easy to get to. Everyone knows where it is.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's a 50-something thousand seater.
Yes.
So right there, I'm a little worried.
Why are they going to sell out every game?
I feel like they think it's going to be like, oh, it's Atlanta 2.0 over here. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm a little questioning.
They'll do better than Bridgeview.
That's true.
They'll get more people there.
But I think it'll look the same.
Yeah, it'll look as empty.
Percentage-wise, yeah.
Yeah, it'll look as empty.
So, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. That said, they're also changing the name from Chicago Fire to Chicago City Soccer Club.
So this
somebody jokingly made a big C, like the Cubs C,
yeah,
inside the NYCFC logo and replaced the little token octagon thingy with the stars from the Chicago flag. That's the actual fucking logo.
Wait, we don't know.
No, did you see the mock-up of it?
I did see the mock-up. I mean, I don't know whether it's obviously, is it the final logo or anything like that? They can't.
But the joke was the real thing that we've seen so far.
Yes, it's looking like there's going to be a contentious battle from Chicago Fire fans that do not want this change to happen. So they don't want a rebrand.
Well, here's what they want. They don't want the rebrand.
They don't want the rebrand.
But what they do want is they want to move. They want to move.
Yeah, Bridgeview is a nightmare, right? And they have the lease is up. They signed the lease. It was like a 30-year lease.
Because I think public money from Bridgeview went to it. So they were like, if we're going to give you money, you got to commit to being here.
Yeah.
So they got to buy out of that.
Yeah. So their lease is from till 2036. And there was, a quote from Rahm Emanuel, who I believe just lost the election for mayor. So everybody's very happy about that. he had said, quote, the Bridgeview lease is one of the worst leases in American history, something along those lines, which is, yeah. I mean, when a terrible mayor is saying that you got in a bad deal, like, that's probably.
Well, he knows. He's like, look, I may be terrible, but that's worse.
I ain't that bad.
I know I suck. I think we could all agree I'm not bad.
So
here's my thing. You are a Chicago Fire fan, right? Hypothetically speaking, mm-hmm. Everyone knows you're Colombian. If you want out of Bridgeview, correct?
Okay, yes, I do.
So you want going to Soldier Field? That sounds dope. It's dope, right? You want to go? Would you rather stay in Bridgeview and keep the name? They seem to want the name, and that's my big question. Do you think they'd rather stay in a stadium that's far away that clearly doesn't work, that clearly isn't getting fans to it? Instead of going to downtown, if you want to keep Chicago Fire as your name, then want to keep the brand,
mm-hmm.
You got to stay in Bridgeview, or do you go to Soldier Field and take the new name?
Well, it's one of those, not trying to relate it to anything else we're talking about, but it's like making a wish on a monkey paw, right?
So. Never heard that before? You damn racists. I told you not to go to that meeting. What are all these thinking torches doing here?
But it is one of those things where, you make a wish, and then, something terrible is going to happen.
Is this an Indiana Jones reference?
No, this is a, it's a short story. It's based on a short story where there's the monkey paw. I don't know. I know you didn't do much reading in school.
Ever.
But it is.
I'm legit lost.
The Simpsons did an episode on this where people make a wish that they found this monkey paw, and the monkey paw will grant any wish that you want, but it will, like, if you want $1 million, say I wish for $1 million, it will it'll kill off a family member that had $1 million life insurance policy, and then you get those $1 million, but you lost that family member.
Sold.
So that's basically
where's this damn monkey paw?
So that's basically the scenario that Chicago Fire fans are being put in, right? They have to
they have to kill the fire in order to get
to
the
get
stadium
the, to get the
downtown.
And it's not the best. It's not the best stadium to be in, right? It is a Band-Aid for their current situation.
But to my point earlier, which I never got to, the reason I thought it was fake is because they said they don't have any plans to get out of Soldier Field.
Yeah, they don't.
They're like, this is good. I don't think that's good.
No,
that's like if NYCFC came out and they were like, you know what? Yankee Stadium's fine. We're going to stop looking.
I mean, look, I'm sure they've tried. I'm not going to say that. I don't know. I'm sure they've looked into possibly getting a stadium in downtown Chicago. Hopefully that's been the case. Who knows? Fire fans are not going to tolerate just being in Soldier Field forever. But is it better than being in Bridgeview forever? Probably.
How about this? Is this one of those things where the current fan base, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dedicated to the Fire thing. They're going to hate the new brand. They're going to try to stick with Fire. They're going to wear the old Fire jerseys. They're going to continue to call them Fire on Twitter, regardless of what they're called. But maybe this brings about new fans, and that new generation actually likes the Soccer City, the Chicago City name.
There's no doubt that the fact that having a soccer team, having the professional soccer team play at Soldier Field will get more fans.
I don't know that that's the case.
I think you're
going to get more fans like per capita, but I don't know that that's going to increase the size of your fan base. Do you get what I'm saying? You're going to get more casual fans.
But at least there'll be more opportunities. Say they do sign Arjen Robben. Say they, a big name or whatever.
Chicharito,
right? Yeah. Things like that. Them playing at, are you more likely to go watch them at Bridgeview or Soldier Field?
Chicharito on the team, they're in Soldier Field. That stadium's going to be nicely packed.
That's popping.
Yeah.
That's a show. The Mexican community in Chicago, they'd go to that. But
they could call it Ciudad de Chicago.
So,
equipo de fútbol, de balompié.
But look, Fire fans and you know, our friends at Section 8, Nicole Hack, but they've
Patrick Stanton,
they've been
homies.
Been very vocal about this stuff, that the Chicago Fire rebrand is wildly unnecessary. That is their feeling.
And unwelcome.
Yeah, and but we saw Taylor Twellman at halftime of one of the games on ESPN say that he was totally for it. He thinks a rebrand would be good for the Chicago Fire, the Chicago soccer scene. People do not agree with that. And
well, you heard it here first, fans. Who cares what you think? Taylor Twellman thinks it's a good idea.
But look, it is a from what I've heard, according to the rumors, is that MLS
the soccer Illuminati,
that MLS has already approved this rebrand.
Yeah, I feel like we get leaks when stuff's already happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like a leak is like the paper's been stamped and notarized.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago. We
Garber's
did
like what, bro?
I forgot about that.
What? We just killed Rooney. When are you going to hear about that?
So,
Lucha Costa is already playing at PSG. Y'all talking about Chicago City?
Old stuff.
Damn.
So, look, I don't know what is going to happen. I think it is. Is it the worst thing in the world if the Chicago Fire are rebranded? No, I don't. I don't personally feel that way. But
I think if you had to pick one, either the rebrand and you get a new stadium, or you stay in your old stadium to keep the name Chicago Fire. Well, I think you got to go new stadium.
Yeah,
look, you got to go. You got to go Soldier Field. If
NYCFC, if they have an opportunity to get a stadium in within the five boroughs, but they say like, oh, but you got to change the name. Yo, who cares? I'm done with the name.
Are you
right? But we
happily wash it away. Feel bad for everyone who's got a tattoo. I don't give a shit. If they said Pure 40 is back on, but we have to change the name, I don't care what you call it. I don't care if you the New York Ain't Awards. I'm like, come on, you Ain't Awards.
Up the warts.
Up the anal.
So, but look, we don't have.
We love you, Ain't Awards.
We love you.
We love you, Ain't Awards. We do. We love you. Awards, we do. Oh, Awards, we love you.
We don't have that long history of a connection with the club. So obviously, losing that is we're not as connected to it. We'll be fine.
Right.
I understand it's a different scenario.
Cuauhtémoc Blanco didn't die, so they could change their name. And by the way, he's not dead.
I'm like, wait, can we verify this?
Garber's like, oh wait, they are up on news.
So, oh boy, how are we gonna top Ain't Awards? I hope for the best, man. I can see both sides in this scenario, but obviously
I do, and I feel bad, and I feel some sort of, I'm not sure what the term is because I don't have feelings very often, but it's some type of compassion or empathy for Chicago Fire fans. yeah, they've got great players, and they're going to continue to get more great players if the rumors are true. And they're going to get a stadium in downtown. It's not the most ideal,
yeah,
but they are going to get a stadium downtown. You got to go through a name change, which is they don't want the washing away of their history. And I get that.
Yeah.
I think if they're going to move to Soldier Field, a portion of Soldier Field has to be made a Chicago Fire memorial, so to speak.
Yeah.
It can't just all be bear shit everywhere. And every once in a while, they put up the magnets that say Chicago City or whatever. Yeah.
All right. We got a sticker section. There's going to be 6 Chicago Fire stickers allowed.
Yeah. Order me a couple scratch and sniffs. Maybe a couple puffy stickers.
Oh, man. So, look, we're supporting, especially, I mean, Section 8, we love you guys, and we hope.
Sector Latino.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
We hope it works out, and hope the best thing happens, that where the most amount of people are happy.
Right. We love the city of Chicago, and we hope that everything works out and the fan base continues to grow.
Okay. So a couple other things, and we'll talk about some games real quick before we start, before we talk to Tommy. Fernando Adi of FC Cincinnati. Okay. Whoa, I didn't know we had a soundboard. So pulling the Kyle Larin. I don't know what it is with forwards out here in MLS.
Wait, we have breaking news. Fernando Adi sold to Besiktas.
For a forced move because he wanted to drive on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
Again, another unfortunate thing. Caught Fernando Adi of FC Cincinnati, formerly of the Portland Timbers, driving drunk, caught with the breathalyzer of 0.124, which is up there. Okay. Yeah,
let's just say it's over the number you're supposed to be at.
Okay.
By quite a bit.
The legal limit is obviously 0.08. So dude was, I mean, this is, you're hammered drunk. Yeah. I mean, this is not just like a little tipsy.
Even if you could take a bit more alcohol than your average person, that right there, that number is pretty significant.
Yeah. And
that's like an Uber is not comfortable with you in the backseat because you might vomit.
Never mind
behind your own wheel.
I'm not the type of person that is like totally against soccer players drinking. I know there people are like during the season.
I'm happy when they party. They got to relieve the stress, the pressure that they're under.
I get it. But to relieve that, to also get, you probably shouldn't get wasted if you're in the middle of the season.
I don't care if you do. You don't drive home.
You know, that's where my line is.
And also, do none of these players have somebody with them that's like, yo, that's a bad idea?
Oh, I get.
Did you see the video of the guy who sat in the passenger seat of his Tesla by himself?
Yes.
And the Tesla drove down the BQE in the rain during rush hour.
I did see that, yeah.
It got him home, made lane changes, the whole nine.
Get Teslas for every striker in MLS. Get the Tesla.
Buddy, if you like to score goals, you get a Tesla. How about that? Hey, Moise Keane, you listening? No, you don't get paid very well. You get a Tesla. Not bad. You want to play in Soldier Field, buddy?
But look, so because we saw, I don't know if you saw, did you see Jordan Pickford get into a fight?
I heard of it. I didn't see it.
Jordan Pickford of Everton, goalkeeper.
I know he apologized to everybody.
Yeah, he was drinking at a bar, at a pub. But this is a little different.
With his mites.
He didn't necessarily seem wasted.
English.
English wasted.
Yeah. How the hell are you supposed to know?
Which is the bar is much higher.
0.127, the English are like, what's that? It's Fernando Adi 7. I don't know what accent that is.
Get all this mathematics out of my face.
Not good with maths. Oh, I give him another pint.
But Jordan Pickford was...
He'd drive better with another pint.
He was clearly drunk, but not... I don't know exactly how drunk, but people were bothering him, egging him on, really kind of bullying
him.
Being English. And
he was being English while other people were being English to him, and he got real English.
So he was kind of defending himself. And because obviously how much are you going to be berated? And if you're drunk, like, you're just going to obviously overreact to that.
I actually saw the video and he kept parrying away a lot of those punches. It was a beautiful thing.
But Fernando Adi just, he knows better. He knows better. I don't know if he's
Everybody knows better.
I don't know if he's going through something, but look, I mean, you could die, you can kill somebody else. Like it's ridiculous. And now he has to go through a substance abuse like process before he's allowed to play again. So
which is great.
I don't know who. I don't know when he's going to be back. Cincinnati seems like they might be fine. I don't know. Fernando Ari is a look. It's your DP.
You spend like everybody's TAM on it.
Exactly.
All the TAM on this guy.
And you brought in 40 draft picks to maybe be backups for him.
Right.
So you know
it's him and a bunch of wingers.
I think for a new team in MLS, you really let the fan base down. It's a big deal.
Has he apologized? Has he said anything?
I haven't seen any comments from him.
Me neither.
Yeah, but look,
he's probably still a little hungover.
0.124. He's probably like .182 at this point. It takes a long time to come down from that. But unfortunate, and luckily nobody was injured or died and stuff.
I'm glad he got caught, so he didn't have a chance to be, to kill somebody.
Same thing with Kyle Aaron. I'm glad he got caught as well. Dude was literally on the other side of the road. Driving, I'm curious what Fernando Ari said.
Fernando Ari said, "I'm not from here." That was the best, Kyle Aaron. I'm sorry. Oh, was I driving on the wrong side of the road? I'm not from here. Where are you from? Canada.
I hope Fernando Ari was just like, "Oh, I'm not from here. I'm also my name is Kyle Aaron."
I live in Turkey now.
So you also heard Kyle Aaron not having a good time at Besiktas and might be
Toronto interested.
I heard Vancouver was interested.
Ooh,
so he might be actually coming back to Major League Soccer. He ain't going back to Orlando after that. How that ended. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about a couple of the games that happened last week. Monterrey played against Sporting Kansas City.
Mexican Montreal. They mean the same thing.
Which is their new name, Mexican Montreal.
They mean the same thing. They mean Kings Mountain, Royal Mountain, same thing.
5-0. The only MLS team left in Champions League. And
did you see the tweet I put?
I did see the tweet.
I said if Montreal loses to Sporting Kansas City 7-1.
Yep.
And Sporting Kansas City loses to Monterrey 5-0. And NYCFC draws even with Montreal, even though they're down a man for 20 minutes, then how many goals would NYCFC lose to Monterrey by? And I said, show your work. Yeah. We've got some actual geniuses that listen to this show.
I think we have actuaries who listen to this show.
We have people that were too smart to be actuaries. They're like, I'm not gonna bring myself down to that level.
Yeah, there were
two people having a full-on math argument, and the whole time I was like, I don't understand anything you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you asked for it.
I thought it'd be funny. I thought people were going to put funny stuff. Two people actually did the work. And they were like, you can't use that variable. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, I'm Googling all this. My thumbs hurt.
I just got a D in Twitter. What happened here?
How I got summer school in Twitter.
So, embarrassing. I mean, there's no other word for it. And people were...
I'm tired of the whole, what does this mean about MLS? Yo, when Red Bull beats Chivas, everyone's talking about MLS is here. We're part of that, right?
Yeah.
And this happens and we're like, no, this doesn't mean anything. I'm tired of this pendulum back and forth. We're the worst. We're never going to do anything until we have more money. Oh, we're good enough to play. And look at our coaching is getting better. Back to the other side. We need more money and, the depth. And somebody said Monterrey had 11 DPs if you were to average it out.
Yeah.
And even their bench players are TAM players. Dang.
Man. Yo, why does Liga MX have all these TAM players and all these DPs? Yo, why them rules are a little skewed?
Where's Doña Garbel, who runs the Mexican League?
Yo, you got to scale that back a little bit.
Damn, Garbel. Garbero.
No, man. Embarrassing, right? And
But you know what? Look, I can't imagine that holds. You know what I mean? I can't imagine that they're not going to lose the next one 5-0. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll be at
Sporting Kansas City is better than that scoreline.
So okay, and let's analyze it a little bit. Actually, before we do that, did you see the tweet from Grant Wall after that game?
Did not.
Grant Wall just went up emo. He got emotional. On the timeline on Twitter, he was just like, his tweet was, I'm so tired of MLS being crap. which is kind of a big deal for a very...
A man who doesn't blink. That's a lot. This guy doesn't have a lot of emotion.
He sees Grant a bunch. But that was a very bold statement from someone who is...
Which, by the way, the fact that he now has emotion should make us really fear AI.
Okay.
The robots are learning.
They're going to be unstoppable soon. No, but the fact that a person like this, who is sort of seen...
Very stoic.
A stoic, but he's sort of seen as like a staple of American soccer journalism.
Yeah.
He didn't give some nuanced take on this loss. He was just like...
No, he slammed his beer down on the bar.
MLS is trash. I'm tired of it. I'm done with you. Literally like I'm breaking up with you, MLS.
Yeah.
And he later ended up deleting the tweet.
There you go, as one does. Because, and we screen capped that joint.
Because he was being accused of... He's often accused of being like a shill for MLS, and and people think that he's paid under the table to speak positively about Major League Soccer and all this stuff. And he's obviously like, you guys are dumb, and it's ridiculous, and it's a dumb point. But he did delete it and said, like, this wasn't... you know, an accurate representation of how I feel. I was just basically I was emotional at the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you have moments where you're angry and you lash out at the ones you love.
And Sporting Kansas City losing to an incredible Monterrey side is not a sign of MLS being crap.
It's evidence to go in that bucket, though, unfortunately. And, you know,
if you're
a Mexican League fan and you think MLS is shit, that didn't make you go, well, I mean, they're not that bad. You know what I mean? That's only going to perpetuate that stereotype.
It should have been a better game, but we can only blame... I think Peter Vermes has to take responsibility for this, because if you saw the game, the Cecenovic was... some people were like, Cecenovic getting cooked all day, and he sort of was.
He kept getting pulled out of position.
But Vermes had Zusi and Cenovic. I mean, they were basically strikers. It's almost like they were playing four up top, right?
How can you track back that fast against a really good team? It's almost impossible.
Monterrey was chilling. Yeah. They were just like, yo, whatever.
Let them try.
Let them do what they...
And then as soon as we get possession, we're already up here.
And but after like the second goal, the fact that they didn't kind of change... tactically was a huge, a huge fault of Vermes.
I think Vermes's biggest mistake is you going into, and I know it's worked in previous matches, but you're going into Monterrey. Rayados are a very different level, a very different nivel, if you will, from some of the other teams they've played.
Yeah.
So you go there, you got to park that damn bus.
For real. For real.
I mean, yo, you're not taking an L. Who cares? It's not style points. Yeah. Yo, park that bus. Get out of there, maybe down 1-0, and then when you go home, you show them what you're about.
Yeah, they went with some ridiculous confidence. I don't know what they thought was going to happen.
What were y'all smoking?
Okay, I don't know what they got out there.
They got that elevation. They got that elevation disease.
The elevation, the kush, whatever they got out there. It was just completely mismanaged. They looked terrible. And Sporting Kansas City is not that bad a team, right? And then Monterrey, what happens in their next game, in their league game against Toluca? They lose 5-1.
Yeah, hell yeah.
What the hell is that?
Well, people don't know this. Sporting Kansas City and Toluca, I mean, the same thing. It's all connected. It's all connected, people. Don Yegarbero said we need to be mirrors.
Yeah, man. So, shame. I was expecting so much better from Sporting Kansas City. What? Look, they're saying all the right things for the second leg that's going on this week. We still have a chance. Yeah, I don't have a chance. Have fun out there, boys.
Did you see the video they put up of Gideon Zalalem getting his first start?
I did. No, from the league. Yeah, against Cincinnati.
He was getting iced.
He
was getting wild frustrated. He was putting his hands up. He's like, remember me, the guy who played for Arsenal for a while?
Yeah, it was like I think the rest of the Sporting Kansas City players were like, why are we playing with 10 men? This is not fair.
Yeah. And he's like, guys, pass me the ball. And he's like, yo, y'all hear anything?
To their defense, and obviously there weren't many players that it wasn't the normal starting lineup, but Zalalem didn't shine by any means. He didn't get a chance to. He didn't get many opportunities to, but when he did have the ball, because that and that clip, those highlights, all only showed when he wasn't given the ball. But the game itself was like this. It felt like two teams that like didn't.
They
felt uncomfortable. Both teams seemed uncomfortable.
I posted about it, and a lot of Sporting Kansas City fans have said there were 9 changes. So, yeah, this team hasn't played together.
Yeah, but even on Cincinnati's part, they looked weird as well. They just weren't comfortable either. It was a fairly dull game. Anyway.
Well, last thing is, you had a great game in Orlando.
Oh, that's right. That was a
beautiful header.
Proud moment for me. You know, I've been all over the world. I'm obviously from Portugal.
You got ladies taking their shirts off for you.
Yeah, let's talk about that game. Orlando City played. Why am I forgetting who they played?
Me too. Actually.
Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado. Great game, by the way.
One of the best games. I love these games in MLS. There's a lot of these.
This is the stereotypical Orlando match, which is complete bedlam. And at the end, somebody gets 3 points.
We were getting a lot of these last year because, Orlando, they you know, the idea of holding like a 2-0 lead is unheard of for
them.
They're
like, we don't want it.
Don't want it? Don't need it in my life.
Okay. We want to make this exciting for everybody.
So, incredible game overall. Obviously, early goal or first goal from Kai Kamara. Kai Kamara is obviously settling in well from in Colorado.
Yeah,
but a great header. And then we had his wasn't a header. Nani's was a header. Nani overall, he gets a brace. He gets the late penalty in the end. But I think the interesting sort of takeaway from this game was the outburst that he had with Kellen Acosta. He got into a huge fight with Acosta.
Tiff.
He got into his face.
Acosta didn't back down, though.
He tried to, like, some people are saying he tried to headbutt him twice.
He kind of did.
So this was Bobby Warshaw's take on Instant Replay, on MLS Instant Replay. He said that he kind of went to the side of Acosta's face and didn't directly headbutt him. So look, VAR is going to look at this, and if they didn't think that it was a headbutt, then it probably wasn't, right? They had a couple more angles, so you can't really get away with a headbutt anymore. You're not going to do a Zidane at the World Cup anymore. That's not going to happen.
Well, he got caught.
He did get caught, but
you're not going to do that either.
But but VAR is going to definitely catch this stuff,
right?
So but Nani, like, lost his mind because he thought he got fouled by Acosta, and
he gets frustrated very easily.
I mean, he brings the, this is what happened. These European players, they come over here. They think it's going to be that all the same fouls are going to be called. They think the referees are trained the same way.
Yeah.
Nah.
Nah, son.
Nah.
Here, we got gluten-free referees.
We got, it's a little bit more physical.
We got
out here.
Dollar slice referees, my guy.
Okay.
We ain't calling everything.
Yo, walk it off, yeah. Nani.
They're too busy looking up their bets on their phones.
speaking, you know what? We talked about this. Remember when we went?
Oh, no, we did talk about
it. We did talk about
it. When I infuriated that.
Dude, I have to finish editing this video. When we went to to Chicago.
I put the camera right up to his face when he was angry.
I don't know if we should put this out for Gully Squad members or for everybody, but there's a video of Alexis making a joke about a referee.
Like, what's his name? Salazar, right?
No. I'm not even going to say his name.
You're going to see his video. I mean, you're going to see his face.
Oh, yeah. But I'm not going to say, yeah. I don't want to say it on the air because I just don't want any. Because I feel like this is a fairly serious issue. But you made a joke about.
Well, we were riffing. We were riffing.
We?
Yeah. me and the ref. He was showing you how VAR works.
Yes.
So you can see how it's very much more difficult. Like, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
In a funny way.
Yeah.
And we were making jokes back and forth. And I was just holding the camera. So I'm like, okay, my job here is to just crack a few funnies.
Yeah.
And I give him the old, like, oh, what button does he press so that you can get an envelope or something
basically
that for a bribe?
To take a bribe.
Or what angle is it that we could see you get a bribe?
Yeah. And
he didn't say anything. It was very quiet. And I was like, did you hear? And he was like, yeah, that's very offensive too.
Dude, I still feel his face when you said that, yeah. I mean, it was like the one joke that you cannot make with referees. You cannot claim.
Well, you know how we both know that? Because I made that joke.
You cannot make a joke about referees taking bribes for calling games. And it went from like, ha ha ha, playful stuff to, no, we do not do that. And that's not funny.
It was like my third foul. It was like, you're getting a yellow.
It's
now.
Persistent infringement. And you are done here, sir.
Okay, I took a yellow, and guess what? Didn't get a red. Finish the video.
So we have this footage, and it's insane. And maybe we'll put it. Maybe, you know what? Currently, thank you so much for Gully Squad and all the support.
Oh, you guys are the absolute greatest.
It's been great. And when you hear the announcement that we're going to make, and you are a big part of why that stuff is happening. But let's say we currently at 76 Gully Squad members, which is incredible.
Amazing.
So let's say if we can get 90 Gully Squad
let's
members?
Let's say 100.
100. If we get 100 Gully Squad members,
we're releasing this video.
We're releasing this video to our Gully Squad members.
And we're going to tag the rest. We're going to keep it gully as hell.
Yo, dude, it's weird. And honestly, this is why I haven't edited it, because I'm like, it makes me uncomfortable. It's like, I am actually scared. I'm like, yo, I don't want to get in trouble.
The video is not him looking at the camera going, 7 days.
It's that scary. So we'll do that. So,
well, all right, let's announce and then get to Tommy.
Okay. So we have 5 minutes before we can talk to Tommy. So let's just do a couple things. The Tesho Akindele scores in this game against
beautiful goal. Beautiful poacher's goal, baby.
Right. But then the last goal, Nani scores the penalty after a handball from Axel Schuberg. And what happens after he scores? There's our tia is in the crowd. And for some reason, a lady of a certain age, right? Yeah.
She's wearing the faja underneath.
Okay. Yeah. You see the Spanx and everything.
Okay. I mean, full body.
Beautiful Spanx. Woman. We love her very much.
Absolutely. Big fans are.
Okay.
I'm almost afraid to see how excited she gets if she meets us. You know what I mean?
She'll go a little crazy, but no, she lifted her jersey, which is okay.
She remembered Freaknik in 98, you know what I mean?
All right, having a little fun out there in Orlando, okay? All right, it's not just a Mickey Mouse Club.
No, it's not.
It was super funny, but cheers to her. So
But she realized it and put the jersey back down. It was super funny.
So, but the game was incredible, and congrats Orlando City winning a game. That you guys need 3 points so badly.
They won a game. And you know what I will say? No one understands what their style is. It's absolutely insanity, but it's fun to watch.
Okay. And so a couple other things that we have to get to real quick. We don't have too much time, but NYCFC plays against Montreal 0-0. Pretty ridiculous game, pretty dull, but the pitch, the field, there is there's sod coming up off the ground.
Right.
NYCFC fans.
The rats are rising from underneath.
Okay. it was just insane. It was the worst the pitch has ever been. And people make complaints about Yankee Stadium and having to play soccer there, but it really was, it was basically a commercial for the desperation of a stadium.
Yeah, it's not great. Not a lot of people were there. The sod is starting to lift up as players are stepping on it. It didn't look great. I don't know if you saw, there was a poll. NYCFC fans would be happy to take Bridgeview. Okay?
Put us in Bridgeview.
Give it to us, baby. We need a stadium.
Okay, it's vacant. What's the rent like out there?
Probably not a lot.
So, and then another game. San Jose Earthquakes defeat the Portland Timbers 3-0. Portland Timbers are...
That's in the first half, by the way.
Yes, Portland Timbers are the San Jose Earthquakes of 2018. What is up with Portland? The main issue... They have to play all their games on their road while their stadium is being finished and the like 4,000 seats being added.
Which is why I'm like, why are we even talking about this? Because look what happened every time a team does this, where they're waiting for the stadium, like DC United, and then the second half of the season they're great. Granted, they brought in Wayne Rooney. I trust in Savarese to fix it.
Yeah.
So it's pointless to talk about now. Doesn't look good.
Yeah.
He took a big old L.
There was a couple of people were tweeting at
us. How you lose to a team with no sponsor?
That's really the worst part.
That's it.
It's not the scoreline.
Fashion-wise, it's just embarrassing.
Like, it's not the scoreline. Yeah. It's nothing. It's really just...
It's Alaska Airlines versus nobody versus Fabric. You got to be Fabric.
you got beaten by the 80% cotton and 20%
son.
Spandex?
Wicking. They're moisture wicking. You got beat by moisture wicking. You can be my dry fit, my guy.
Yo, dry the up the dry fits. Yeah.
We love you, Anna Warrens. We do. We love you, Anna Warrens. We do.
So people are asking us to like roast Timber. It's hard to roast the Timbers because obviously because of their situation.
They're embers now. They've been roasted, bro. They roasted themselves.
We were making fun of them when Eric Keating was here a couple weeks ago. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, look, how much can we really like when they get into their stadium? That's when things are will hopefully improve.
5,000 extra fans than they normally get, they'll be fine.
Yo, yeah. Providence Park is going to be absolutely bananas. And how much louder is going to be now? So
especially since there's a little bit more cover on that side, too. So it's just going to be like all around.
So
it's going to be dope.
A lot to look forward to. And then last game, LAFC against DC United. LAFC puts 4 on DC United.
Thanks for them. And they ain't got nothing. And Wayne Rooney out.
Vela, Rossi with a hat trick. Look incredible. LAFC is has to be the favorites right now for MLS Cup.
Rossi getting looked at by everybody. Did you see Lucho Costa also getting looked at by Manchester United?
What is going on?
What is going on? Yo, PSG, say you want us. All of a sudden, everybody wants you.
Exactly. What was that? What is it? Mike Jones?
Back then they didn't want me. Now I'm hot. They all want me. Hell yeah!
That's Lucha right now. Wayne Rooney sent off a red card after fouling Diego Rossi, just straight up studs to the leg after being down 3-0.
Trying to take out a young Uruguayan.
Yo, man, Rooney, take it easy. All right,
young Euro.
What you learn down Liverpool?
Damn, son. that's that Liverpoolian in
there. Exactly. So those are some of the games. I mean, there were another game. Yeah, Toronto and Chicago had another. Barn burner. Yeah. And I feel like Chicago's always in these games where they're never dominant. They're never getting crushed, but they have exciting games regardless of what scenario they're in.
When sometimes they don't need to be excited.
They don't need to be, just defense. Defend, Chicago Fire.
Try it.
One day they'll get there.
We got to light a little bit of a city under your, I'm sorry, a fire under your
hands. All right, so let's get to our interview with Tommy McNamara. Great,
I'm so excited.
Dude, so excited to catch up with him, see how the pizza is out there in Houston.
We know it's trash.
So we'll be right back. Back after this with Tommy McNamara.
Thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. We just want to break in with a word from a surprise, not a sponsor.
A huge announcement.
Oh my God, this is so exciting.
The Cooligans will be in Minnesota for the opening of Allianz Field against NYCFC. So
that's right. We're going to be in Minnesota.
We're going to be at the game with all you guys.
We're going to be hanging out. You'll be there on Friday, right?
I'll be there
Saturday. I get in.
Yes.
We're going to go to the game. We're going to do a little media day type stuff.
But the big announcement.
I mean, what are we going to do the next day at 4 p.m.
Sunday at 4 p.m. The Cooligans will be.
I think we should go shopping. You want to go to a store? You want to go to maybe? We should go to the Talisman and Company store.
We should go to the Talisman store.
Why don't we go to the Talisman? And I don't know if you know this. It's at 2179 St. Clair Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is on the corner of St. Clair Ave and South Cleveland Ave.
Yeah.
And why don't we do something special since we're going to the store?
You know
why don't we bring a friend?
Let's bring a friend. Let's do a little show. We're going to be there with.
Why don't we release something?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we should do that first. We're going to be dropping a talisman cap, the official Cooligans talisman cap.
This is for the day ones when you see this design.
Exactly. This is going to be available at the store, at the show, right there. So go to the show. We're going to be doing a show as well.
We're going to be doing a show, and we're bringing a friend. I don't know if you know him. I don't know if you heard of him. Right, maybe we should give him a hat. Seems like he's pretty popular in Minnesota, even though he's not from there originally.
Yeah, that's right.
His name is Miguel Ibarra.
Miguel Ibarra will be at the Talisman store 4 p.m. Sunday. That is this Sunday coming up. This is Sunday, April 14th. At 4 p.m., the Cooligans, Miguel Ibarra, and a talisman cap.
We are launching our first ever hat.
Yes.
With Talisman at the Talisman store. And we're going to have Miguel Ibarra there. And we're going to do a little show. And guess what? If you're in Minnesota, even if you're not a Minnesota United fan, you happen to be in Minnesota that weekend, come to this event. It's going to be fire.
It's going
to
be dope. So you can get tickets at our website. Go to soccercooligans.com. Click on the buy ticket link and get tickets ASAP. And this is the main issue. The Talisman Cap store is not very large.
No, it's like New York City apartment size.
Yes, so it is basically going to be a very, very VIP limited event. There's not many tickets available, so as soon as you're hearing this, you need to go to our website and buy tickets ASAP.
Don't walk. Don't jog.
Run to your phone.
You need to run, son. Yo, it's going to be at the Talisman & Company store on the corner of St. Clair Ave, South Cleveland Ave, and St. Paul. Cooligans, 4 p.m. Miguel Ibarra, a cap, Talisman & Company. You.
Bars. Do it.
Yeah, baby, we're back.
We are back.
This is it. We're on with the gulliest soccer player ever.
That's right. One of our favorite human beings. Out, not in New York anymore.
Nah, yo, we carbo loaded him on his way home, though. You know what I mean? Like, okay. When he knew he was leaving, we're like, yo, take some of his pizza.
He's still burning off some of them calories.
Hell yeah, yo. Still got some of that scars in the gut. You know what I mean? But this is, I mean, we absolutely loved him when he played for NYCFC. Now, let's find out what he's been doing down in Houston. Okay, why they keep mispronouncing the name. All right. My favorite singer was Whitney Houston. We all know that, right? He's just one of our favorite players of all time. He's the Nyack Messi. Okay. Or Messi happens to be the Argentinian. Ladies and gentlemen, Tommy McNamara, everybody.
Hey, Tommy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So, I'm so happy to get a chance to speak with you on the podcast, right? We hung out and we ate some pizza, but you've never been on this part of on this show. And now, unfortunately, we have to do it over the phone because you're not in New York anymore. How's it feel being down in Houston, man? It seems like you've been getting some really great opportunities in the Champions League and stuff.
Yeah. No, it's different. Obviously, it's different. But it's been great. It's great to be playing again, you know, after the year I personally had last year. It's great. You know, started a few games in the Champions League, have come off the bench every game and in the league, and, you know, the team's been doing well. So it's been great to get back on the field consistently and regularly again. It's been a lot of joy, and especially with the results we've been having, it makes a huge difference.
How's it feel? Because I know when NYCFC started, you came in, but you had been sort of, you were over at, I believe, Chivas USA prior to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sort of settled in a little bit at NYCFC, a little bit of a different system, a little bit of a different style of play down in Houston. Do you think you're able to sort of, you know, do the Tommy that we know and love?
Yeah. No, the settling in process has been, you know, it's been pretty easy. I've worked with Wilmer before, obviously at Chivas USA, even though that was, you know, pretty short amount of time considering my injury and then obviously the folding of the club. But I understood a little bit of what to expect, just in terms of, you know, training, how a week would look like, a little bit about, like, you know, what philosophically we're trying to do soccer wise. So the settling in process has been good. I've been playing more in my natural position as a number 10, which I'm happy about and feel, you know, the most comfortable there. But yeah, it's been good so far.
And what, playing in Champions League games, what, please explain the feeling for us. We're never going to get that opportunity, but from, you know, just play, obviously playing in league games and then, you know, having to travel, you know, abroad to play in some big games. What did that feel like for you?
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a cool experience. You know, this was my first time playing in the Champions League. And it was different. You know, we went down to Guatemala City and played the Guatemala team, Guastatoya.
Guastatoya.
Going and seeing, you know, how they supported the game. We played in their national team stadium, not their stadium. You know, obviously we did well to advance. And then playing Tigres home and away, I mean, we played them tough, but, you know, and they showed their quality and scored a couple of goals. But to go to play them at home and then to go play them in their stadium where they sold it out, whatever it was, 40,000, you know, almost no rules in terms of flares and banners.
No rules on the field either. They get pretty aggressive out there in Mexico.
They're like, no, 2 foot is allowed in Liga MX, so.
Yeah. It was cool. It was, you know, obviously we hadn't qualified with New York, so I never qualified before. And then obviously Houston picked me up. And, you know, that was a big positive of coming down here is, you know, experiencing the Champions League, competing in it, and, you know, playing in more games in a season.
When you're playing against Tigres, is it is it like, does it feel immediately different as far as the quality? Are you see them take a couple touches and you're like, oh damn, all right, this is a little different. Or is it like, oh, these are just normal dudes and, you know, we just got to bring our A game.
Yeah, no, I think that in both the games, I think we started well as a team and, you know, maybe they didn't quite start as well as they would have wanted to. And so I think it gave us confidence and we made it difficult on them and they didn't really have a lot of opportunities and we created some of our own. But then in the second half, as the game went on, myself and I believe the rest of the team started to see more of their quality. And it's like they had more of the ball. They had longer stretches. They were, you know, classier with the ball than they were before. And it's like, yeah, I mean, this is a good team. It's a good opponent. These are good players.
Like at that point, you're just like, all right, hustle up. Let's get this over with. Let me grab some tacos on the way home. Yeah, I mean, you know what I notice about you, Tommy? You do the same thing I do. When I leave New York, my accent gets thicker. You're like, nah, B. Like, I like how you were like, nah, B. We in Mexico. We scoring goals. I went to LA for like 2 weeks. I came home and someone's like, oh my god, you sound like you vacationed in the Bronx.
I think it's maybe just talking to you guys.
All right. Maybe it is. Maybe we have that effect, the Cooligans effect.
Yeah, I'm curious. Yeah. The last time we hung out, when we made the video when we had pizza, that was obviously. Thank you again for doing that. That was huge for us. I mean, I know a lot of the NYCFC fans. I know a lot of just soccer fans in general loved getting to see something like that. Getting to see an American soccer player just definitely be as like as normal and relatable. But what was there any feedback for you when people saw you or what they thought about, you know, you liking
ranch on pizza? I can't let it go. I cry about it once a week.
What was the feedback on your end?
I mean, I didn't get no feedback about anything like that. I just got, people were just kind of like, oh, it was funny seeing you on that video or, you know, things of that nature. Like, oh, this is another good pizza spot or something like that.
Okay.
It was cool. It was all positive. Yeah, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I hadn't been to those two spots in the city, so to get to go with you guys and learn something a little bit different about New York was a cool experience.
And learn too much about pizza. I got too much knowledge in my head, Tommy. One of the questions I have for you is, you have a certain swagger when you play. You know what I mean? Like, you carry yourself with this, like, yo, give me the ball. I'm going to hit this curler from the middle. I'm going to do what I do. Is that something, when you go to a new team, can you carry yourself that way? Do you have to sort of assimilate a little bit? MLS is a little different, too, because I know there's, a lot more turnover year to year. What's it like when you go to a new team? Do you come in, you're like, yo, what's up? My name is Tommy. I've been hanging out with the Cooligans. What to do? This is my spot. What do you have to do to sort of get involved with the team a little bit?
Yeah, no, it's a balancing act, you know, because you want to come in and, you know, you need to earn the trust of the guys that you're playing with, really. And so, obviously, most of the guys that are on the team, they knew who I was. I played against them, things of that nature. But
you scored against Houston, I think, a couple times.
I don't know if I have or have not. But
I think you did. I think there was that. Wasn't the header that you, when you crashed into the net?
That's FC Dallas, I think.
Was that FC Dallas? That was Dallas. Oh, I thought, okay, yeah. I'm confused in it. It was another Texas team.
Big state.
yeah, too big.
But, I mean, you need to earn their trust. You're their teammate now. We're competing for 3 points. We're competing for, you know, our jobs, things like that. And so that's part of it. But at the same time, you can't just, you know, defer to everybody else, because then you're not going to improve. You're not going to show, you know, what you're capable to bring to the team, to bring to your teammates, things like that. So it's kind of a balancing act of, yeah, of course, you don't want to walk in like overconfident, arrogant. But at the same time, you can't be deferring to other people either. You need to make put your stamp on the game and put your stamp into the team.
And so what, I had another question. What are you going to do to outlast the DeMarcus Beasley's career? Because this dude,
it's impossible. It's,
it really is, man.
Because I don't know what, I don't know if you stand a chance.
I feel like he sleeps in baby placenta. You know what I mean?
What's playing with DeMarcus Beasley like?
I mean, what a legend he is, U.S. soccer. You know, he's 20 years now. He's been a professional. You know, he's played in 4 World Cups for the U.S. He's, you know, a huge name for U.S. soccer. So to come here and get to work with him and get to, you know, kind of get to know him personally off the field, it's been really wonderful, really, because he's, you know, him, Landon Donovan, Clint, these are guys you think about with U.S. soccer, at least, you know, that generation.
Have you met his grandkids?
That's hilarious. I feel like DeMarcus Beasley is the type of hey Tommy, like, come here, young blood. He's like, yeah. I feel like he's one of those. It says young blood.
Yeah, help me out of the back of this senior citizen home van so I can
score some golazos in Champions League.
I'll never have the discipline that he has in any aspect, whether it's his training. I'm sure he eats a special diet. I'll have none of that ever. Speaking of diet, you're in Houston, very different food from New York. What are some of the things you've eaten so far? I mean, obviously there's no good slices down there, right?
I have tried one place, a wood fire place. It's decent. It was better than I thought, to be honest.
Is this Carne Rosa?
I don't know if it was just because my expectations weren't super high, but it was pretty good.
Is it Carne Rosa?
It was, what's the name?
Carne Rosa, or Cane Rosa, as they call it down there.
I'm going to have to try that one. It wasn't that one.
Yeah, that one's supposed to be the best. That dude learned how to make pizza in New York, just so you know. No slices, though, right?
No, it was just wood fire, like, personal, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God. They're like 50 years behind.
What's Houston food? Is it like barbecue, similar to other Texas stuff?
Yeah, it's like, they have a great Vietnamese population.
There's a huge Vietnamese population, and I know there's a huge Colombian population. I've been to Houston once, and there was I was hanging out with a bunch of Colombian people while I was there, so I was only speaking Spanish, and then I asked somebody for directions, and then they were like, "All right, what you gotta do? You gotta go down here." And I'm like, "Oh, whoa, I'm in the South." Yeah. I'm like,
did this Colombian person just pull out a Southern accent? I hate to sound this way, but if you're Colombian, you're only allowed to have a Southern American accent, okay? South American accent, I mean, not a Southern American. What food do you think you'd love to bring back to New York if you were to come back, like, on vacation or in the off season from Houston? Is there something you've eaten down there that's made you go, you know, nutty? Because we're planning a trip to Houston soon to go meet some of those fans down there. I'm trying to get right now, what should I eat?
Yeah, the Texian Army. That's the people out there.
Yeah, the Tex-Mex. You gotta go with Tex-Mex.
Okay.
Tex-Mex, maybe barbecue. I haven't had Texas barbecue yet, so I need to check that out.
Right, there's only so much you can eat during the season, right?
I can't be eating barbecue every night, you know?
Yeah. Like, yo, Tommy, why are you huffing and puffing, man?
Those ribs.
You got barbecue sauce on your fingers? What? Man, Tommy, you've been eating barbecue?
During every throw-in, there's barbecue sauce on it. Like, yo, Tommy, you got to chill, dog. Yeah.
Well, the center forward has a pimple. He's like, there's barbecue sauce on my forehead after I headed that ball. Damn, Tommy. What do you miss the most about the city? Not just soccer, what, just like being someone who's from New York, lived in the city. What do you miss the most being in Houston? And what's something that you really, really enjoy about Houston?
Yeah. No, what I miss the most is easy. I mean, it's my family and friends.
Oh, forget that. No, like, okay. We get it. Yeah, we get it. You love your family. Enough. No emotions on this podcast.
Okay. Kill all the emotions.
Yeah. Come on. Neither one of us had dads growing up. Stop it.
What I like about this New York City is, I mean, you could walk to anything that you could possibly need when you're living in Manhattan. You know, you could walk to grocery store, to the bar, to CVS, to restaurants, anything you need, you could just find it within walking distance, which is different than here. This Houston's more of a spread out city. They have a little downtown area, but a lot of the city is more spread out, kind of like Atlanta.
Okay.
Which is funny, like when New Yorkers go to other cities, we're like, oh, this is your downtown? This is cute. All right, what do you got, 4 buildings?
It's different.
All right.
It's different.
All right, you guys are building up.
No, what I like about Houston is, I mean, it's warm. Obviously, in the summer, I'm not quite ready for that or how that will be, but it's warm all the year. So you can be outside all the time. They have nice parks. You could be out at the pool. You know, every hotel, every apartment building basically has their own pool, things like that. So you can be outside all the time, which is nice, and explore the outdoors.
But just like New York, right? We got that ill puddle outside of every building.
Yeah, that's what we call it, the ill puddle. That's what you get diseases.
You're going to be ill. You're going to be ill if you don't.
But what, are you somewhat dreading the summer matches in, you know, in the stadium?
August in Houston.
August in Houston playing. I mean, it's going to be rough, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played here in the summer yet. I mean, everybody keeps saying that it's rough. Thankfully, we play in the evening for the games, but I think training is what even might be more difficult, training in the morning with the sun and the heat and the humidity.
Doug, it's good training if you get into the national team for the Qatar World Cup. I mean, this is going to be good training.
Yeah, really get ready.
Get them lungs ready. You become part fish with all that humidity in the air. How did Tommy get gills? He's ready for the humidity down here.
I adapted.
Well, Tommy, dude, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Look, we wish you the best in Houston when you play against every team but NYCFC.
Except NYCFC, obviously.
We want you to, when is the game against NYCFC? Do you have that on the calendar? I don't even know when that's that one's coming up.
August.
Is that home or away?
It's in New York on a Thursday.
Okay.
First or second Thursday, maybe.
All right. So, all right. We'll see you there.
See you there.
Yeah. It's gonna be weird. I know for a lot of NYCFC fans, seeing you in a different jersey. But I know for sure you're gonna get a lot of love when they announce your name. Usually, you know how it works. Where after when they announce the opposing team, they say you know whatever they say their name, and then they go sucks.
Yeah, you're not gonna get that.
Nah.
You're gonna get like. Or something, you know what I mean? Like, we're gonna remember you. And also, no matter how hot it gets down there, we'll cut the front of a couple pair of Tims. We get some open toed Tims down there for you, just to remember where you're from.
I think it'll be more like cowboy boots, open toe cowboy boots.
Oh my God, they make those.
Are you listening to country music? Is that something that you've been forced to do?
I haven't been forced to do it. I've heard a little bit of country yet. And all over the radio is this Billy Ray Cyrus song now, if you consider that country.
Wait,
have you heard it?
Oh, the Old Town Road?
Lil Nas X.
Oh, yeah, that's Lil Nas X. And now, look, Billy Ray Cyrus is on the track, and now it's a Billy Ray Cyrus song.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the power he has in Houston.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, that song is bumping, that Old Town Road.
Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. Tommy McNamara, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Let people know if on all your social media stuff so people can follow you.
Yeah, it's Twitter and Instagram. Both of them is Tommy_MC, the number 15.
Okay.
There you go. Tommy_MC15. And I know you'll be posting like, hey, Tim, send me some places to go hang out and go chill, things to see in Houston. So if we got listeners that know Houston that well, yo, tell Tommy what to go look at. What's there? What's popping in Houston?
Exactly.
You know, keep it PG, though. You know what I mean? Slide in the DMs for all the other stuff.
So, Tommy, best of luck the rest of this season. I hope you score some, you know, 40-yard bangers like we're used to seeing. And yeah, all the best this season and for the rest of your career, man. We appreciate you joining us on the show.
Absolutely. And send us your address, yo. If it gets lonely down there, we'll send you some freeze-dried Scars pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it, guys.
You're the best.
We'll be seeing you guys soon.
All right, man. Cheers, Tommy.
Oh, what an! I mean, Tommy's the best.
Tommy McNamara is an absolute gem. Thank you again for joining us on the show. What a privilege that we have.
We get to just talk to these dudes.
Just down to earth dudes. You know,
they're soccer players, but they're humans first.
Exactly. You know, and that's the thing a lot of people don't remember.
They don't.
It's only us.
Yeah. It's Cooligan, and that's it. You think FIFA thinks about it that way?
Okay. They see them as assets.
Yeah, that's right.
And liabilities.
And we take out the ETS.
So, Tommy McNamara, thank you again for joining us. We... Yeah, I mean, this is another fun show. Another fun show that we got to talk to talk about a lot of crap. I mean, I honestly, for me, I don't know. This, I feel like the episode should be titled Up the Ain't Awards.
Up the Ain't Awards with Tommy McNamara.
But I might have to pick something else.
Or maybe it should just be that.
So, memorable, not another fun episode in the book. So, again, guys, make sure that you follow us on all social media at Soccer Cooligans. If you're not, you're missing out on the Cooligans experience.
Absolutely.
And make sure
to keep leaving reviews too.
Leave a review. We're trying to get to 500. We're at 412. And we need to get to that 500 so we can compete with some of them big dogs. All right.
Hell yeah.
Because we're minnows. All right. If it's the FA
Swimming
Cup,
in the sea of sharks.
Okay. They're all after us. We can't do it without you. We need that school behind us.
One of them already failed coming on you. But the rest of them, they're out there.
Okay. We're trying to survive in this, this media market.
We're trying to DeMarcus Beasley in a world of people that don't want DeMarcus Beasley to succeed. I lost the analogy there.
But good point. You know?
Thank you.
So thanks again for listening to the show. And a reminder, get those tickets for Minnesota because you didn't hear about that. So that is incredibly limited.
I mean, wildly limited.
So get tickets as soon as you're hearing this. If you are in Minnesota, go and get those tickets because there's not many available.
That's right. I mean, I hope you were one of the first, within the first 100 to download this, because if you're in Minnesota, not a lot of space, but we love you guys. We can't wait to meet you all.
Exactly. All right. So, guys, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!